The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, welcome back to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. We are joined now by Cam Jordan, defensive end, 2011, first round pick, 24th overall, and Alesha Broussard Sheridan, Vice President, Community Relations, Outreach, Youth Sports. Lots to talk about. Let's begin with Cam, of course. And Cam, nominated again for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. It happened before, but when that comes from your peers, just to give me a sense of what that means to you.
I think it's a huge nod to the work that I'm doing in the community. And I feel like I take everything as a challenge anyway. So I take it as a challenge that I can be better. I can be more. I can have more of a positive impact in my community. I feel like it was like a rally of like, whatever you're doing, great. And for me, it's a challenge of, all right, whatever I've done, awesome, but I can always give more.
So, Alesha, tell me the first time you met Cam and what that was like, and about how long during your conversation with him did you realize he was actually questioning and interviewing you?
Mike, can I interrupt just a second?
Sure.
Before you do that, I just want to say that, look, Lish does a fantastic job for us. She's been with us for a long time, despite how young she is. And she handles all of the player, the coach, and the front office community engagement opportunities and appointments, and just does a fantastic job. There's nobody in our league that does that job better than Alesha does. So I just want to make sure that our audience knows that.
Well, much appreciated. I do.
Don't make me cry before we get into all of the details of what's going on here, but I certainly do appreciate that. And Mike, certainly you, I feel, are part of the family, so feel free to call me Lish. It's fine. But the interesting thing with Cam is that he came in during the lockout. So, the introduction was not what it typically is with most guys coming in. But certainly once he, Fred McAfee, our VP of player development, he's great about making sure that the guys are connected with myself and the rest of my team. And man, I was trying to think what the actual first visit was with Cam, at least the first school visit. And what I remember from the very first moment, I was like, this guy has so much energy. Like, how am I going to keep up? I had just had my first child. So, a working mom, as it would be, not getting much rest. But Cam definitely kept me on my toes. He keeps me on skates. So I knew, though, his personality is, I feel like, certainly exactly that of a New Orleanian. You know, very quickly, we tend to think of someone as a member of the family, a cousin, a very close friend. We're calling them in a moment after meeting at a bus stop or, you know, just having a quick conversation in a grocery store. And so what I saw in him was that there was going to be a very easy integration into the New Orleans community. And, you know, we all know, everybody's always said, you know, you love New Orleans, they're going to love you back. And just the way that he's integrated himself into the community, not just in the schools, but, you know, there's so many people, you know, just randomly on the street that you'll meet. And, you know, it's my guy, Cam, you know, it's The veneer of Cam Jordan, the number 94 for the New Orleans Saints, wore very quickly with him. So I certainly do appreciate that because it makes my job much, much easier. So thanks again, Mickey. But, you know, you're pulling some great guys into the building. Makes it easy for me.
The floor is yours, Mickey.
Well, first I want to say this. I one of the things that I don't know that people understand is these players, they give their time during their day off. And they get one, once the season begins, once training camp begins, outside of the bye week, they have one day a week where they don't have football activity. And, you know, time's pretty precious, especially for these players like Cam, who have families, have kids that are demanding their time as well. And yet he still, on every Tuesday, is the first guy to volunteer to go spend time at a school or a community event. And we've got a number of players that do that. Cam's not the only one, but it's not as easy as it might sound being a professional athlete in season and giving up your time like that.
Why do you do it, Cam?
Lish sort of said it earlier. I mean, I was integrated into New Orleans before I was integrated really as a New Orleans Saint. You know, the city showed me so much love when it was a lockout year that most of my friends were New Orleanians, you know, like real work, eat, live in New Orleans versus the transplants that football players seem to be, you know. So it was easy to embrace the culture. But growing up, I had a dad who played for the Minnesota Vikings and, you know, started up all types of charity events, first team program out in Phoenix, where, you know, they bring in inner city youth kids to the game of golf, introduce them to the game of golf. And as long as I can remember, I've always seen, you know, acts of kindness from my mom in our surrounding community. So it was just something I grew up with. So growing up with it, just you just always aspire to be like your parents, emulate actions that you see as positive impacts. And that's that was the easiest way to go about it. But it's more along the lines of, you know, seeing the smiles on kids' faces, you know, whether that's the PFEs from the, you know, the play football focus camps, the play it forward in high school. Anytime you've had interactions with the next generation, the next kids, the guys that look up to, you've always been re-inspired. So going to these school visits is darn near selfish at this point. When I go out there and I'm talking to kids and you see them light up and you see how they, you know, they want to play professional sports. They want to go, you know, go to college and play for their team. They want to be great. They want to take their grades to the next level so they have opportunities or chances. You feel re-inspired. You feel reinvigorated, like you're looking at infinite potential. You know, a kid who's 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16 has their whole life in front of them, hopefully, has 40, 50, 60 years. And this is those foundational type moments that you can leave a positive impact on them. You never know what kid needs to hear your talk, what kid needs to be affected until, you know, 5, 10, call it 14 seasons later, when you see a kid that was 8 or 9 years old now sitting at 23, 24, like, hey, man, I wanted to go to, you know, Cal because you came in and talked about Cal. I wanted to be a professional football player, but I remember how much you stressed the importance of academics. And it's like, you know, now I'm, you know, taking my LSATs and I'm pushing towards a better degree because I want to have a better opportunity. But I remember you talking about school was first before it was football. And it's moments that the interactions that I've had over the last 5 years that have made me realize how much of an impact I've had talking to kids in school. So it's creating the scholarships, it's creating, you know, the backpack drives, the school give backs, the teacher supplies back to school drives. It's feeding the homeless. It's partnering with United Way. It's doing whatever it takes to be a part of this community that can have a positive impact, because you never know how much positivity you can create from it.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And when we come back on the Saints Hour with General Manager Mickey Loomis, Defensive End Cam Jordan, and Vice President of Community Relations Lish Broussard Sheridan, this is the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Hour with Saints defensive end Cam Jordan, Vice President of Community Relations Lish Broussard Sheridan, and Saints Executive VP and General Manager Mickey Loomis.
So, Cam, I want to go back. It's hard to believe it's been 14 years now since we drafted you, but I want to go back. You went to high school, went to school in Arizona, then you went to college at Cal, and then draft day, the New Orleans Saints draft you in. Look, that's a pretty big move, coast to coast, coming to New Orleans. What were you thinking when that happened?
I was thank the Lord that it was somewhere cold. I think my only prayer that day was like, Lord, thank you for the blessings that you've given me. Also, please don't send me anywhere cold. Like I don't know how longer I'll play if it's cold. You know me, if it's 75 degrees on, I throw a sweater on. So like I just didn't see myself thriving in a cold air spot like that. But then, you know, you remember, Mickey, 2011, I thought I was going to be a top 15 lock. I came in for a visit, and, you know, we had like a brief conversation. I talked to Bill Johnson, and he's like, look, man, I could ask you about X and O's, but you're not going to be here. You know, we're going to pick 24th. Unless we go get you, we won't be able to get you. And I was like, you know, like in my mind, I was locked in, you know. By pick 24, I was like, look, Lord, I done brought my whole family out here to New York now. Like, you know, everybody's sitting here, I'm falling. You know, you think you're going in that first hour, and now we're sitting, you know, in the last 60 minutes, it can get a little, I'm looking at the agent like, you gave me bad information. I'm looking at the parents like, I'm looking at my dad like, hey, man, we might be a day two family. So the New Orleans Saints called, and I think I blacked out. I don't think I had any words for him, because I remember I was like, there's things I want to say, things I want to, like, I want to let you know I'm like the hardest worker out there. I'm gonna let you know that I'm gonna be the best player you've ever had. And by the time Mickey and Saints and Sean Payton called, I was just like, let's do this. Thank you so much. Like, Mickey,
well,
tell you,
I remember the conversation, because look, you were so excited. And I think you, in the span of about 35 or 40 seconds, first with Sean, then with me, you must have said 2,000 words. And I remember looking at Sean and just saying, gosh, what did we just do? I can't even understand this guy. He's talking so fast. But that, we certainly didn't expect that you would be available to draft. And look, things happen for a reason, right? And now 14 years later, you're still here, still going strong. 118 and a half sacks, or whatever it is, 140 sacks. Who knows where it's going to end up? But yeah, it's been a great ride for you and for us, and even beyond all the great things that you've done in the community, man, you just have represented our team. I don't want to say it's perfect, but it's pretty close to perfect.
Hey, nothing in life is perfect. I'm gonna leave that to the man above, because me, I'm but a plebeian.
Lish, how hard is it? Go ahead, Lish. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, because there's a lot of players, and they do, as Mickey said, just have that Tuesday. Cam is also one of the 10 finalists for the Athletes in Action BART Star Award, which honors the NFL player which best exemplifies outstanding character and leadership in the home. I imagine Tuesdays for some mean one thing, but Tuesdays with Cam is a pretty solid calendar invite for you.
No doubt. It is standard for sure. And Mickey, I'll tell you this, that story that Cam just shared about getting that call on draft day is one that he has shared many times. So he certainly does appreciate getting that call for sure, all these 14 years later. But I can tell you, Mike, The calls, well, first of all, yes, Tuesday, as long as we're coming into and going out of a Sunday game, you can bet that there's going to be a school visit that's happening somewhere between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock a.m. But the surprising moments, you know, you think, okay, well, it's bye week. They're not going to have a regular day off. Or, hey, they're coming back from an international game. Certainly, he's not going to look to go to school, you know, first thing in the morning. He hasn't even, you know, had 3 hours of sleep coming off the plane, but he does, you know, late night on a, you know, winning game night or even not sometimes. And the call comes in of, hey, let's go to school on Monday and Tuesday. So just the consistency that has happened over the course of 14 years, particularly as guys get deeper into their careers, you know, you start, you know, having families and then that window of time that you only have on a Tuesday to get all the regular things done, you know, the honey-do list and the daddy duties and all of those things, Cam still finds a way to incorporate serving the community, you know, bringing his family really into a lot of the community events that we do. A lot of times you'll see, you know, Nikki and the kids coming through. Just this past couple of weeks ago, as we were preparing for what the Thanksgiving activation would look like. Of course, you know, Tuesday wasn't a Tuesday, but still found a way, you know, to work it out to where he was involved, you know, really hands on. And that's, I think, one of the things that I can certainly appreciate is that he's not one of these guys who, you know, is just doing it for the look of the camera. You know, I can't say that that's the case for any of the guys on our team, but, you know, with Cam specifically, it is, you know, what can he do to help? Where can he connect the dots? There are so many moments that folks will just never hear about that, you know, has been incredibly impactful for the people who have served. And I am going to share just one real quick. So there was a teacher that had reached out. Actually, her daughter had reached out to Cam on social. And after, you know, a little vetting process, we found out that the teacher, you know, great teacher, had, you know, kids in high school and had a pretty traumatic experience to where they lost their home. And, you know, without even question, Cam put the family up in, you know, an Airbnb for a solid month. So just think about what that means to the individual when, you know, you just came against this, you know, incredibly, you know, unfortunate circumstance, and you're trying to figure out how do you even, you know, get to the next paycheck to be able to cover whatever it is to attempt to get you back on your feet. And if you then get to a moment where you just don't have that financial burden, you don't have that worry to be able to focus on, you know, kind of getting back on the right path, out of the blue, you know, just a random message that then turns into sort of righting the ship for you and getting you back on track. Like, and that's just one moment in 1 year at one time. But then once you start to kind of, you know, add those things up over the course of 14 years, you know, it's just the steadfast commitment, the consistency, all of these things that are admired in someone who is nominated for, you know, Man of the Year, who ultimately wins Man of the Year. You can't ask for a better example of that in what Cam has shown.
I have just a couple of questions, and I appreciate everybody's time. I do want to ask one football question, just get it out of the way. And for whatever reason, Cam, this has been your time of the year, right? In their last four games, you've had four quarterback hits, two PDs, a sack, a tackle for a loss, three sacks in your last two games last year, 2021. You had 8.5 sacks in your last four games. What is it about kind of that November-December run where, not that you come alive, but it just seems like your conditioning or your will just seems to overpower?
It's nothing but the grace and glory of God giving me the talent and opportunities to present what I've been given on display. you know, each year is different when you come in as a football player. But at the same time, at the end of the year, you're squeezing everything you got left on every play. The December is that month that you have to, you know, really make hay. January, when your season's closing out, you don't have any time to think about what your body's going to feel like, because at this point, it is what it is. And, you know, because of the way I condition, because of the way, you know, I still feel that I'm going to be the best conditioned defensive lineman out there, honestly, one of the best conditioned athletes on the field. When I see, you know, that last stretch of the season and guys are breaking down, guys are getting tired, I'm made for that.
We will wrap things up next as we continue on the Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Pistol formation with Gainwell behind Minshew. Minshew takes the snap. He keeps it, rolls to his right, but he's got company, and he'll get brought down shy of the first down at the 19 by Cam Jordan. Did not fool Cam Jordan, who I think ripped off Gardner Minshew's shoe as well.
Oh, and that's where you miss Jalen Hurts. I mean, that's where Jalen is going to be able to give you a little something on the edge. But the Saints did something. I mean, they had 5 D linemen in, and so, you know, Cam's job was the quarterback. And nice job right there in, on the edge also by Shy Tuttle by not allowing the quarterback to be able to get the yardage needed. So 2-3 and outs by that Saints defense being able to do your job.
34 seconds. Ball's at the 25. Minshew out of the shotgun. Saints bring 4. Minshew's in trouble, and he will go down inside the 20. Cam Jordan is there.
Mike, Cam is getting close to this all-time sack record that Ricky Jackson holds. I think he may need another half sack. But right now, they cannot block this Saints front four. They cannot block him, and I don't know if it's a separation issue, but Minshew is not comfortable back there, and that pocket is collapsing.
That's his 6.5 sack for Cam. He has not had a full sack prior to today until week 7 of Arizona, had a half a sack week 10 in Pittsburgh, but that was a big one. And you're right, boy, Kate and Ellis, they were just collapsing that pocket. Cam was there, as was David Onyemata, to force a second down and 15 at the 20 with 26 seconds left. First and 10. Fakes the handoff back to throw. A little stunt, and he does. The ball comes loose, and Minshew gets it. But that'll be it. That should be the sack for Cam Jordan, and that should be the record.
That's the record. Congratulations to the new Saints sack leader. Franchise history.
His third sack today, loss of 12. Minshew fumbled it, but when he picked it up, Cam was there. 3 sacks today. Began the day with 112.5. And now, clock moving. Second and 21 after the sack.
I got a question for you, Cam. So 14 years, I don't know how many games that is, but it's a lot. What's the most memorable game for you? You know, from a positive standpoint, what's when you think about your career and think about a particular game, what jumps out at you?
First notable game of the career would have been like Mike Vick 3-sack game. Philadelphia was at 2012, because that was the first 3-sack game, and it was Mike Vick. Come on, everybody! Yep. Everybody played with Mike Vick, you know, on Madden when we had Algie Crumpler. You know, like it was Mike Vick. First, like, you know, he didn't have not $100 million contract; he had 2. But it was Philadelphia Mike Vick. It wasn't Atlanta Mike Vick. And then I guess the other one would just be. Sadly, I'm always going to remember the 3-sack game against Philadelphia breaking the Saints record. It's just not as epic. Like, you know, the first sack was against Cam Newton. The 100th sack was against Tom Brady. The 113th, 14th, and 15th and a half sack was against Gardner Minshew. It's just, for some reason, Gardner's just not doing it. And out of the pantheon of quarterbacks. Not saying he's not a good one. He's just not legendary in my mind. Like he's a Mississippi guy, you right. know. Not nothing wrong with Mississippi guy, but he's not. He wasn't. You know, legendary in my mind.
Well, he's legendary because him and DeMario went to the same high school, I think.
Legendary odds of getting out of the SIL. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. So you can argue that with DeMario.
Yeah, for sure.
But you listen, you had a lot of sacks on Cam and Matt Ryan, as I recall, over the years. So you've got to have fond memories of those two guys.
Yeah, Matt Ryan forever. Like, he's forever good in my book. If he ever needed anything, all he had to do was call me. Like, I need to pay him back some way, somehow.
And the last question I have, and I will let you go, and that is, I met your dad somewhat when you signed your contract this summer, and I wasn't afraid of him, but I just went, man, that's an intimidating cat. He was just an intimidating guy. And now I'm thinking, you're the father of four. I'm going, I think Cam Jordan would be the greatest dad in the world, man. He's fun. We laugh. And I'm just wondering, what kind of dad is Cam Jordan?
I think I hold the moniker for fun dad. If you ask the wife, that's definitely my role.
You are good cop. She is bad cop.
She is the concrete as well as the walls, ceiling of the household. And I just happen to be the wonderful, beautiful, pattern window that gets to look outside, you know, like I am the fun that they want to get to. And at the same time, I'm also the ceiling. Like, if you need, you know, if mom gets mad, guess who has to bring the hammer? Me. So like, I'm pretty much, you know, it's my role doesn't change much from the D line. I get to be fun. And at the same time, if I have to come be the bearer of bad news, I'd be that as well. I get to be me 24/7.
Well, we appreciate your time, Mickey, as always. Lish, best of luck. But please tell me there's a Lish on the Pelican side too, right? You're not both, right?
No, there's only one Lish. No, there's only one. She can't be duplicated.
But somebody else is doing a job, right?
I am. It is I. It is me. Ah! Yes. But you're right. There's only one Lish.
Well, congratulations. Thanks to you all. Best of luck for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, as well as the Athletes in Action Bart Starr. Your dad should be in the hall. Jari Evans should be in the hall. We'll get some of that out of the way. And just continued success for everyone, for Mickey, Cam, and Lish.
Indeed. Appreciate you guys.
Now that's our show for tonight. We do want to recognize our sympathies for the passing of Joseph Bernstein, the last surviving member of the original Saints ownership group. He passed away at the age of 94. An attorney from Texas, one of many to help bring the team here back in 1966. So our sympathies and prayers to the family. And we thank all of those who worked so hard and for all of their dedication to bring the New Orleans Saints right here to New Orleans.